Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you would like to follow along in your Bibles with the message that I'm going to preach today, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bibles. And the title of today's message is The Gospel of Your Salvation. The Gospel of Your Salvation. And I took that title from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And I've been preaching through this chapter concerning the sovereign, predestinating purpose and work of God, the Godhead actually, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the salvation of His people. And the first part of this chapter spoke of the work of the Father. Now, I've said this before on this program. Now, we who are true Christians, we believe that there is one God who exists and subsists in three persons, not three gods. We believe in one God, and monotheistic. That's what we say. We're not polytheistic. You know, many gods. I know the Muslims. Some of them accuse us sometimes of being polytheistic because we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that's the Trinity. And the Bible reveals God in the Trinity of His persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's one God in three persons. Now, the problem that we have with an understanding of that is that it's just a truth that is so high above our human intellectual limitations that we cannot explain it. And really, there are no illustrations that adequately describe it so that we can pin it down, bring it down to our level. But there is one God, and He reveals Himself in the Trinity of His persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the first part of this chapter speaks of the work of the Father in salvation. The Father representing the sovereignty of the Godhead, and how He purposed before the foundation of the world to save a people of His choice. That's election, and I know people don't like that. And He predestinated them to be saved, and He predestinated all things for the purpose of His glory and the good of His people. And that doesn't give you or me or anybody an excuse not to seek the Lord or anything like that, because we're not God. We live in our realm. And so God the Father is the source of all of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's by His grace. And then we come to the work of the Son, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, everything that that God has for His people as far as salvation and blessedness and a right relationship with God comes through the person and work of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. So that the only way that a sinner, and that's what we are, the only way a sinner can find salvation is by coming unto God, begging for mercy in Christ, as He is identified and distinguished in the Bible, in the revelation of God. That's what the Bible is. And it tells us that in Christ, the God-man, that's who Christ is, Sinners find salvation, blessedness, acceptance with God based upon His finished work as the surety and substitute of God's chosen people. Christ came to the into this world to die for the sins of His people. He died, He was buried, He arose the third day. And what was He doing? Well, He was paying the sin debt of His people. He was providing a propitiation, turning back God's wrath because it fell on Him as the surety and substitute of His people. All of their sins had been charged, accounted, imputed to Him. And His righteousness, which is the result of His work, His finished work on the cross, is imputed to them so that they stand before God justified, not guilty. That's an amazing thing. It's amazing grace. And out of Christ's work, as indicated by His resurrection life, having put away the sins of His people, having redeemed them by His blood, comes spiritual life in the new birth, and that brings us to the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we come to in Ephesians chapter 1, where he's talking about the sovereign glory and grace of God. Verse 12 says that we, that is believers, we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And that trusting there means to hope in Christ. And a lot of people, when he says who first trusted in Christ, I believe Paul is referring there to the first believers in the new covenant. And then look at verse 13. He says, in whom, that is in Christ, you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Now that's key. You can't trust in a lie and claim to be saved. Now you can do it, but it's a false claim. There's a lot of people who claim to be saved based upon untruths. Okay? So he says, after that you heard the word of truth. And what is that? The gospel of your salvation. That's why I titled this message, The Gospel of Your Salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then verse 14 says, which is the earnest or the down payment, sort of. The work of the Holy Spirit in us, in the new birth, what does He do? He providentially brings us under the preaching of the gospel, and then He imparts life from Christ, spiritual life. You see, we're over in Ephesians 2, it talks about how in verse 1, and you hath He quickened, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sin. By nature, you see, that's the issue. We fell in Adam into sin and death. Adam was appointed by God to be the representative of the whole human family, the whole human race. And we fell into sin and death, and as a result of that, we're born dead. Dead spiritually now, not dead physically. See, we're not still born physically if we're alive, if we have physical life, but spiritually. And that means spiritually we do not have the knowledge and the desire for the things of God. We do not have a heart from God. That's why in regeneration, in the new birth, it says in the Bible, He gives us a new heart, makes us a new creation. See, new from the old. The old's dead. That's spiritual death. And the new is spiritual life. He gives us spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. And what that is that when we hear the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel of our salvation, we see it in a different way. Before, we didn't see it as life and death, as the only way of salvation. But now we do. We see it differently. He's given us eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ is all my salvation. Christ is all my life. He's my hope. All of my eternal well-being is in His hands. He's all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. And that's not, I didn't do that before. Now, let me be quick to say, before I did think I was doing worshiping Christ and following Christ, but it was a false Christ. How do I know? The gospel of my salvation. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But He gives us ears to hear. Remember, Christ talked about the Pharisees. He said, hearing, they hear not. They hear my words, but they don't believe them. They don't hear them the way that they ought to hear them, that they need to hear them. You need to hear. These are, well, Peter said, when the multitudes left Him, and He turned to His disciples, and He said, will you go away also? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. We've got no choice here, you see. This is the gospel of my salvation. Why do people ask me sometimes, why do you preach the gospel so much? Because it's the gospel of my salvation. Is it the gospel of your salvation, or do you believe another gospel? That's the thing we're asking here. Well, the Holy Spirit, when He does His work, He indwells the people of God, and He's the earnest of our inheritance, verse 14 of Ephesians 1. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. The inheritance is the blessings of salvation. We've already seen back in Ephesians 1:3 that they are all in Christ. We don't earn God's blessings and we don't deserve them. It's all freely given in Christ by God's grace based on His righteousness imputed to us. And so He says in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now the redemption there is talking about final glory when Christ comes again. And He takes what He bought, the people of God, to Himself, and we're glorified. The purchased possession. Who is that? That's His church. That's His bride. That's His elect. That's His sheep. You see, that's His brethren. He laid down His life for His brethren. And so He says in verse 15, He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now faith is the gift of God. He's going to say over in Ephesians 2, it's not any, faith does not come from your inward spark of goodness. You don't have that. That's a lie. I don't have that, you see. Somebody says, well, everybody's got a little spark of goodness and we just got to fan the flame. I believe everybody has a natural, semblance of a natural spark of benevolence, but that's not spiritual, see. That's conscience. But when spiritual life comes, you'll have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints. That's specific Christian love now that binds Christians together in the truth. A saint is a sinner saved by grace. And so Paul writes in verse 16 that he ceases not to give thanks for them, for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then I'm going to stop there and go back. Now the gospel of your salvation. And what I want you to consider today is this. What is the gospel of your salvation? What is the gospel of my salvation? Now my friend, there's only one gospel. Now, if you look around, and this is so confusing to many people, and I understand why it's confusing. There are so many different denominations, so many different churches. Now, let me tell you, let me let you in on something here. And I'm telling you this because this is what the Bible teaches. All right? All true Christians. And notice I said true Christians. All true Christians believe the same gospel. There's not one gospel for this set of Christians and another gospel for this set of Christians. There's only one gospel which all true Christians believe. So one of the grand pursuits of your life ought to be climbing into the Word of God to find out what the gospel is. Now, a lot of people today, they go to passages like 1 Corinthians 15. And they say, well, now there's the gospel. And it is the gospel, but they say the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, let me tell you something about that. The gospel includes the historical fact of Christ's death, His burial, and His resurrection. You cannot believe the true gospel without knowing the fact, the historical fact, that this is really true, that Christ, Jesus Christ, died on the cross, was buried, and arose the third day. But if all you know is the historical fact of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then you don't know the gospel. Why did Christ die? Now, here's where we're getting into the gospel, the good news. That's what gospel means. Why did He die? What did He accomplish in His death and His burial and His resurrection? What does His resurrection mean? Okay? When we find the right answers to those questions from the Bible, then we'll know what the gospel is. Well, I would direct your attention back to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Because, and we could go to so many different scriptures here. But here's the thing about it. Now, you've got to understand. You remember Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, if they come preaching another gospel, let them be anathema. There's only one. Well, listen to what the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit, wrote in chapter 1 of the book of Romans. In verse 1, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, it's the gospel of God. It's not man's gospel. Man didn't originate this message, or he didn't create this message. This came from God. And it says in verse 2, which God had promised before by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This is the same gospel that all the prophets preached and believed, the Old Testament. And listen to what he says in verse 3. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now the first thing he tells us about this gospel, and this is the only gospel of salvation. If this is not the gospel of your salvation, then your salvation is just a mere false profession. If it's not the gospel of my salvation, then the same thing. What is the gospel of your salvation? That's what Paul's been talking about. Well, the first thing he tells us here about the gospel is the gospel concerns a person. Now, who is this person? Well, he says he is Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that Jesus Christ is fully, perfectly man, human, without sin. He was made of the seed of David. His birth, you know, people this time of year talking about the birth of Christ. Well, His birth was a miraculous birth. He was born of a virgin without the aid of man. He was conceived in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was called that holy thing. The Bible says, unto us a child is born. And this is Isaiah 9 and verse 6. A child is born, unto us a son is given. The child refers to His humanity here. Made of the seed of David, that's talking about the prophecy of the royal covenant. And He was even prophesied even before them by Jacob back in Genesis chapter, I believe, 48, when he was on his deathbed and he talked to his son Judah. He said, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh meaning peace, which is Christ, comes. Christ to establish his kingdom. Christ had to become a man in that sense, without sin. And he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So this person who is my salvation is fully man, fully human, but without sin. He was a sinless human being, a sinless man. Now that's mind-boggling, but it's true. He knew no sin. He was made sin, which means the sins of his people, his sheep, God's elect, were imputed, charged, accounted to him. But he knew no sin. So somebody says, well, I heard a man say one time, talking about Christ going through the temple and losing, what he said, losing his temper. And he said, I'm glad that's recorded because it makes him more like me. No. He didn't lose his temper when he drove the money changers out of the temple. What he expressed was true, righteous indignation. He wasn't just throwing a temper tantrum. You see, he's the sinless, perfect man. But he's not only man. Look at verse 4 again. It says, verse 4 of Romans 1, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, he was made the seed of David according to the flesh. That's his humanity, his sinless humanity. But he wasn't made to be the Son of God. He was declared to be what he always was. He's the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who has no beginning and no end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is God in human flesh without sin. He's God-man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He shall save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus, God who saves. And it says, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He is God-man. Now that's another mind-boggling truth. So that's the person of Christ. Now, over in Romans 1 and verse 16, look at this. Here the apostle writes by inspiration of the Spirit, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, this person, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This gospel now, and what he's talking about is in the hands of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, this gospel is the power. We get our English word dynamite from this Greek word, power. It is the dynamite of God, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In other words, if you believe it, that's the power of God unto salvation working in your life. It's not the power of your free will. It's not the power of some spark of goodness in you. It's the power of God. Faith is the gift of God. Somebody said, well, if God's going to give me faith, he'll give it to me. If he won't, he won't. Well, that's true. But that doesn't relieve your responsibility to seek the Lord, to read the Scriptures, to find out what is the gospel of your salvation. You see, if God gives you faith to believe, then you know of his working power. And this gospel in the hands of the Holy Spirit is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. In other words, Paul's making the point, this is not just for the Jews. This is for God's people all over the world. Anybody. Christ said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, black, white, male, female, anything. If you come to God pleading the merits of Christ, he will receive you. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, man by nature will not call upon the name of the Lord. They'll call upon the name of their God, their ideas, but not the true God through the true Christ in the true gospel. So he says, to the Jew first and the Greek also. And then look at verse 17. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the justified shall live by faith. Now, if the gospel of my salvation, of your salvation, is the true gospel, then it's been made the power of God unto my salvation, brought me to faith in Christ in the revelation of this righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Well, over in Romans chapter 3, he tells us in verse 19. Now listen to this. Romans 3:19. He says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty, subject to the judgment of God." Guilty before God. You know what he's telling us there? He says, all the law can do for you is condemn you. Now, why is that? Well, he tells us later in verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Well, it's the righteousness of God in Christ. We're going to see that. Now, he says in verse 21, or verse 20 of Romans 3, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You cannot be justified. Now, what is it to be justified? It's to be not guilty. It's to be righteous in God's sight. How can I attain that? How can I be not guilty and be righteous in God's sight? Well, not by works of the law. All the law can do is show me my sinfulness. And so he tells us there, he says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there's no difference. The righteousness of God is the righteousness, the merits of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ to save His people from their sins. You see, the gospel is not what Christ tried to do. It's what He did do to ensure the salvation of His people. Well, we'll continue this, so I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.